Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Carolyn Yeager, bringing you the Revisionist Report now every weekday morning at this time. I was previously on Saturday at 6 p.m., where I have done six programs, which are archived here on RBN, but there will be no more Saturday shows. I should probably start off fresh on this Monday morning, which is June 20th, because I no doubt have some new listeners who are accustomed to tuning in to Reverend Manning at this hour and instead have found me here. So for that reason, I'm going to introduce myself. And however, you can find out a lot about me at my personal website, www.carolynyeager.com. There you will see that I've done a good amount of writing, some of it published at the Barnes Review, who also published my first book, which is actually a booklet about the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial Museum in Poland. I'm continuing to contribute articles to the Barnes Review and to write revisionist articles that I publish on the Internet. You can write to me at carolyn@carolynyeager.com. I reply to most of my email, but if it grows into a larger volume, I might not be able to. Now, my last Saturday program was just 2 days ago, and I'm kind of used to doing a weekly show in which I do something different, you know, each week. But knowing that I was moving on to a daily show, I went into the story of the destruction of the Czech village of Lidice, or Lidice, depending on how you want to pronounce it, on Saturday, and knowing that I wouldn't have time to go on with what I would like to talk about after that. So now I am going to continue with that today, even though it may not be the best way to begin a new program for new listeners. But of course, if you want to listen to those shows, they are in the archives. And I came to a pretty good cutting off place on Saturday, and I could have just leave it at that. But I really would like to continue with this since I've started it. And so I'm going to be talking about Czech-German relations, basically, on today's program. Now, at the end of Saturday's program, I recommended two books, Sudeten German Inferno and Documents on the Expulsion of the Sudeten Germans. Both can be read for free at www.wintersonenwende.com. That is, Wintersonenwende is spelled just like winter, and then Sonnenwende. It's all one word. And you'll find a lot of interesting information there. By giving you these two books, I do not expect the general listener to read these books, but I think it would be very valuable to go there and just take a look at them, because it will give you an idea of what they contain. You can look at the table of contents. You could check out a few things. The first book has some pictures in it. They're small, but they're very informative. And this gives you a good idea of this incredible events that took place right at the end of World War II and continuing on for a few years. And that is so unknown to the general public. And, well, okay, here is my nice music. And so I will continue with this when we get back. Thanks.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll-free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and I want to now tell you, this is Carolyn Yeager. With my new location here on 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, coming to you with the Revisionist Report. Now, to give you a little bit of a recap of where I was last on my previous program, that is that since I'm going to be talking today about Czech attitudes to the Germans, the attitudes at that time. At the time that liturgy took place, that is the destruction of the Czech village by the Nazis in retaliation for the assassination of the governor of the protectorate that the Germans had put in place, which was Reinhard Heydrich, who was very, very highly thought of by the Germans, and it was a terrible blow when he was killed. And he was killed by Czech partisans. And the partisans were not, though, the... were not in a strong position in among the Czechs at that time. They were there, and they were operating with the help of the English. And they were Czechs, so I'm not saying that all the Czechs were happy, but they were becoming happier, and they were getting along with the German with the situation, with the Germans being the protector of their area there, and they were. The relations were continuing to improve, and this was a big goal of Heydrich, and he was being successful in it. And so in order to spoil these good relations, again, this assassination took place, and then destruction and the murder of the inhabitants of Lidice, or at least the male inhabitants. And then this has been played upon as a reason for the Czechs to have a huge gripe, and gripe is not a strong enough word, against the Germans once the war ended and the Germans lost, and now they were going to take their revenge on their German occupiers, you might say. And this was really encouraged by well by the Czech leaders at that time. And what I want to make clear is that not all Czechs took part in this, and I'm not here today to attack the Czech people. Even this happened sometime back, but the reason it's I think it needs to be talked about is because it has never been revealed in the truth has never come out, and there's a lot of I'll be going into that. The point is that that even though that most of the Czechs today don't even know what the truth was, they don't even know what happened because they've been told lies. And the Czech official, the government, don't want this brought up. And the occupation government of the Republic of Germany doesn't want it brought up either. That's the problem for the Germans, these Sudeten Germans, or any Germans who want their story to be told of this huge suffering that the Germans went through. Their government doesn't want it brought up either. So we're talking about government leaders, not necessarily the bulk of the people who, for the most part, have been brainwashed and don't know the facts. And of course, when you hear facts that are condemnatory of your people, it's very hard to take when it sounds like somebody's trying to attack you, and your natural instinct is to defend yourself. Now the Czech government is, as I pointed out last week, is offended, or last Saturday, is offended to be asked to apologize to the people the Sudeten Germans and their survivors and their children. And I'm afraid that many other people are no different than they. Well, I was going to say, no, many other people are no different than the Jews in this regard. The Czechs and many other groups who refuse to recognize what happened to the Germans, non-German civilians who were not engaged in this kind of politics, or were not engaged in the war in any way, what happened to them is not important. But what happened to these people, as we see in the example of the Jews, is very important. But what happened to the Germans is not ever even to be mentioned. So I'm going to take calls today, and the number is 800-313-9443 if you want to call in. Let me continue here. The fact is, in spite of what people want to believe, and in spite of what the history books say, and in spite of what you've been told, no Czechs were expelled in 1938. Now I'm talking about at the time of the Munich Agreement, which I've also covered in my program in the past. Part of the rationalization for the brutality toward the Germans when they were so brutally expelled from not only the Czech lands, where they weren't Czech lands, they were their own German territories, but they had become Czech, but also in other places, not just with the Czechs. And it's hard, you know, I don't know if it was Czechoslovakia, but Czechoslovakia stopped existing, and then it took a while before it became the Czech Republic. So we don't know exactly what to call that territory. But they say that the German Sudeten Germans expelled the Czechs in 1938 when Hitler took over the Czech territory and it became a protectorate. But not from 1938 to 1945, during that period, were any Czechs expelled. So this is one of the lies that are told. But it's not a big one compared, but it's big because it gives a cause. You know, these are things that are brought out to give cause for what happened. In late 1918, there were 160,000 Czechs who were living in the German regions affected by the Munich Agreement. Now, that was at the time, at the end of World War I. And this was, of course, long before the Munich Agreement, but that's how many Czechs were there. But in May 1939, after the Munich Agreement, and when the Germans had taken over, or did take over, official statistics placed the Czechs at 320,000, which is twice as many as were there before. And the reason for this is the Czechs had come into the German areas as officials and teachers during that period of time between 1918 and 1939, they came to checkify the population. The program of the Czech government, once it became Czechoslovakia, was to get rid of the Germans. And they, one way was to come in and take over, and they wanted to change the character of the area there and make it Czech and make the Germans more Czech or force them to leave. I've covered all this before. The schools, the German schools were closed. All kinds of German things were not allowed, and everything had to be Czech. But this was a German area that had been German for centuries and centuries. So this was not really something that you could excuse. Now, after the annexation, though, after 1939, many of these Czech immigrants to the German area moved back into their Czech homeland, but they were not expelled. There was no order that they had. They voluntarily left because they saw now they were no longer going to be in control. And some other dissidents, like members of the German Social Democratic Party, left because they didn't want to live under National Socialist rule, because this was now all National Socialist. And the there were Germans who didn't like that, didn't go along with that, and remained in opposition to National Socialism. And so they also left. And some of them went to England because they didn't want to go back into Germany. They wanted to get out of all National Socialist controlled areas. So they emigrated. And the expulsion, now I have a little introduction to this book, in this book, Sudeten German Inferno, which I'm going to read. And I'm going to wait until after the break to do that. The name, again, of the author, the person who wrote this introduction, is Herta Ruthard, and she is a Sudeten German survivor. And what she says here, I think, is quite informative, and will set the stage for what else I'm going to say. I might just start it, even though we're not at the break yet. Let's see. It's we've got about a minute. So we'll say that the starting out part is how it was in the Sudetenland when it was forced to become a part of Czechoslovakia in 1918. She's describing this. And she starts out by saying theirs was ancestral German land which had been inhabited by their German forebears for at least 2,000 years. Now, this is this is before Christian times. She's saying the Germans inhabited these lands. And she's got seven sources for this. All books listed in German with page numbers to back up her claim here. Usually you hear about the Germans being there for 800 years. But that was a particular settling time that they came from Germany and settled there in order to build up the area and improve it. But she is just saying that Germanic people were there since for at least 2,000 years. And then she says, in time, after the Germanic people were already there, Czechs trickled into the region, and soon the invaders, she calls the Czechs the invaders, tyrannized and oppressed the good-natured Sudeten Germans with the intent to eradicate them, as the following accounts clearly show. And I'll go into what she says about how that evidence for that when I come back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719. or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I've got a couple callers, but I want to read this. I'm going to continue and finish this passage written by Herta Ruthard before I take the callers. And it's kind of long, but I hope I can get through it before we have our next break, at least. A quote from a book by Reinhard Kozomi that she's quoting, which was published in 1978, which shows gives an idea of the plight of the Germans, the Sudeten Germans, after 1918, once they became a part of Czechoslovakia. All right, the district physician of Groslitz, a district with a population of 25,000, reports officially and on his professional responsibility that black barley malt coffee without milk or cream is the food that babies are given. Now, that's not really coffee. It's barley malt. It's not coffee beans, you know, barley, what they called coffee. And older children get coffee, bread, and potatoes. The children are undernourished and anemic. They have no clothes. Entire families live in cramped holes where the floor is the only place to sleep. In winter, there is no coal with which to heat. Mother, give me some water. I'm so hungry, begged the children. And the physician, who clearly feels that this will perhaps be disbelieved, says that he can take it on his oath that this is a direct quote and that there was cause for it. In one family of six, parents, three children, and a mother-in-law, the family members literally go naked. They have neither stockings, nor shoes, nor shirts. They live on black coffee for breakfast, soup for lunch, and there is no supper. They are slowly but surely dying out. In the Adler-Gebirge Mountains, the people supplement their bread with tree bark, while the government orders tons of grain dumped into the Moldau River to keep the prices from dropping. The Moldau River runs through this area. It goes through Prague, and obviously they had food, but they were doing like we do now. We get rid of food to keep the prices up. A large part of the population has been eating cats and dogs. That's from Pozomi. And she goes on, and what was the public response to this? Embarrassed silence abroad, and at home, vile incitement against all those who allegedly sullied the Czech nation's reputation with their warnings. Now it was clear that the Sudeten Germans were supposed to be wiped out for economic impoverishment plus social ruination plus political hopelessness plus national chauvinism on the part of the Czechs added up to the destruction of the essence of the Sudeten German ethnic group, despite all Sudeten German efforts to ward this off. The systematic displacement of the Germans from the employment scene resulted in a catastrophic drop in the birth rate. And that's also from Pozzomi in his 1978 book. Now, Herta goes on, this is how matters stood in the Sudetenland when it was forced to become part of Czechoslovakia in 1918. And if Hitler had not restored the Sudetenland to the German Reich, the genocide of the Sudeten Germans would already have been a fait accompli, even then. Yet despite all this, the two ethnic groups, the Czechs and the Sudeten Germans, lived peaceably together during the Third Reich. This fact casts a highly significant light on the character of the Sudeten Germans. After all, they could have taken revenge now. But after the end of this deplorable war in 1945, the tables once again turned to the disadvantage of the unfortunate German population. And the Czechs, now she's getting pretty upset here, and the Czechs in their godlessness were seized by a blood frenzy that could not possibly have been any more gruesome. They must have been possessed by the devil. Who else could have guided their hands as they celebrated slaughter feasts and intoxicated themselves with orgies of murder? Whose voice was it that ranted from the lips of their men of God, in quotes? She's talking about the religious orders and ministers and so on. You can kill the Germans. That's no sin. That's a quote. That's what they said. The religious men, they told that to their congregations. You know, it's no sin to kill Germans. Were those God's words? Surely not. I myself heard such a call to mass murder as it was being preached from the pulpits of the German churches by the Czech servants of God in those days. The Czech president, Edvard, now I looked up and found that today Czechs are about one quarter Roman Catholic and one half are agnostic or atheist. That's how they call themselves. So I would say it was not because of religion that this was taking place. It was not a religious thing, because they were one religion or another. To go on, the Czech president, Edvard Beneš, back from exile in London, here's the problem, incited the already half-crazed population via the radio. Quote, take everything from the Germans. Leave them only a handkerchief to weep into, unquote. In Prague, Germans were hung head down from lampposts and set on fire as living torches in Beneš's honor. In fact, when he arrived in Prague, he did walk through the square in which these Germans were hanging and being burned from these lampposts. And this was like, a triumphal march for him. If I'm wrong about that, somebody tell me, but this is what I understand. Ever since, the number of victims has been set at 250,000. Files from the SBZ, German Democratic Republic, which were not accessible until 1990, showed that this figure was much higher and must now be set at 460,000. I think that includes the Wehrmacht soldiers who got caught up in this. That is by Fritz Peter Hobel in a book he wrote in 1996. Well, we have our another break, and then we'll come back for a longer segment. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alimax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back, and I haven't quite finished Herta's introduction, but I'm going to go ahead and take the calls because I might not need to finish it. So first we have David from Idaho. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm very Polish, and I learned most of history is bunk, but it's very interesting as it all becomes digitized. Like 1984, it goes down the memory hole. We had a wonderful publication in Idaho, the Idaho Observer newspaper.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
That ran an article April 19th, 2007 that showed George Bush Sr. in a German Navy uniform in 1938. And it's still on the web for a little while. Just for a little while. But one of the most interesting things the Germans did in Czechoslovakia was develop higher technology. It was an Oxford scholar, Joseph Farrell, wrote a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is this thing with George Bush Sr. was in a German uniform in 1938?
In 1938. I believe the Germans
is that a fake photo? I mean,
it's not a fake photo because it agrees on so many levels with the technology we're suppressed with.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying he was doing there? He was in the German military in 1938.
It's a 41-page article.
Oh, yeah.
Who runs our country?
This may be one of those. I hope this isn't this thing that somebody has put out that has all this so-called secret stuff about the Nazis and so on. Is that what it is?
Well, what is the word?
You know, about Borman and all these folks surviving and going here and there and running things and, you know, having Tesla as their captive and getting all his secrets and the Nazis taking over the world. Is that what this was?
Argentina, the size of Massachusetts, owned by Germania. But Holocaust means to sacrifice your own, I think, from an old French. But what's going on now is a reactor on the Missouri River is flooding its core and headed to Iowa, where there's another reactor. But in Iowa, a state with more pigs than people, all the rural farms have to have city water because their groundwater is contaminated.
Yeah. You know, Dave, I appreciate your call very much, but we're getting off the topic. And I do like to stay right on the topic that I have for the day, you know, for the program. So I'm going to say goodbye for now. I hope you will call again. I thank you for bringing this up but I think I'm going to check into that article in the Observer. I think I know what it is and look into that. I appreciate you bringing that up. Okay, let's take Steve.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah. I'm president of the Carolyn Yeager Fan Club. Send me an autographed picture with X's and O's on it. The reason why I called, you talked about these social democrats, and I have a problem with any German-blooded people who commit patricide against the fatherland. They believe it's virtuous, like this Thomas Mann character who ended up in Czechoslovakia, railing against the Krauts. Deutschland is not perfect. The German people are not perfect. But certainly they allow some dissidents. And, for this guy to carry on, he says, wherever I'm at is Deutschland. No. It's much bigger. It's a greater Deutschland. And, keep up the good work, Carolyn.
Well, thank you, Steve. And, you know, speaking about traitors, I'm, as a matter of fact, going to be going into that subject in the near future. And, you know, treason in the Third Reich was pretty strong, even though the vast majority of the people had no part in it and were strong supporters of the regime. But this is what we have, and this is really what I'm going to be pointing out today, too, with the Czechs and, with the Czechs. I'm going to stick it with the Czechs, that the leadership is often traitorous to the best interests of the people. And so we're gonna look at this. Okay, thanks for your call, Steve. Let me finish up what Herta had written, and that she's summing up what the problems are for now. She says, and now, half a century later, a new order is to be established. Over the decades, the Sudeten German suffering was mentioned less and less until finally the topic was banished into the darkest corner of history's broom closet by the German government itself. This government now supports the Czech Republic's admission to NATO. It reassures the Czechs, this was written in 1999, it reassures the Czechs that the Sudeten German expellees make no claim for restitution, and the Czechs need not even renounce their Mr. Beneš's disgraceful decrees. Now, she's referring to the Beneš decrees, which were these decrees that Beneš wrote actually earlier than 45, he had them all prepared, but they were put in place when he returned to Czechoslovakia, and even though it was no longer Czechoslovakia, and they outlined. In fact, you can read them in the documents book that I recommended. They outlined how the Germans, and the Hungarians were going to be treated, and how they could be treated, and the whole process. And these decrees, even though they are criticized by everyone, and the European Union doesn't approve of them, the Czech governments have continued to keep them on the books, and they continue to be the law there. And so that's what we're speaking about there. To go on with Herta, that is nothing less than legitimized genocide. For in just one more generation, there will be no more Sudeten Germans. The survivors have become assimilated by the rest of the German population. That is, they're all in Germany, and they're losing their identity as Sudeten Germans. And, you know, these people who lived outside of Germany and had been living there for centuries, they didn't identify, they identified as their unique peoples that they were. They were a certain kind of German people, and they loved their land that they lived on. And for them to go back to Germany, they're treated all right, and everything is all right, but they're not happy because they pine for their true homeland, which is now called something else. So this is the human pain that they suffer. So she says. At the same time, the Czechs grow ever more brazen and even demand restitution from the Germans. Well, this did take place around that time. And I don't know if Germans are still paying restitution to the Czechs. I had to have to check into that. For what is beyond me, she says, as though it were not enough that they stole the land. This is what the Czechs do not want to hear, nor do the Poles, nor do... any of them. They stole the land and the people's wealth, goods of inestimable value. They let this former gem of a region go to rack and ruin, and even want to be paid for it. She says, finally, on this putrefaction, a new order is now to be built on a foundation of unatoned for crimes, festering wounds, and the bitterness of the unfairly treated. And this is supposed to end well? I doubt it will. And she signs her name, Herta Ruthard, 1999. Now I like this last two sentences because this is really the way I see it, and the way I see why I do this revisionist work that I'm doing is because we are supposed to be building a new world, which started in 45. You know, well, now we're gonna, you know, now we're gonna have a new order built on this. All now that we've defeated all of the fascists and so on, we're gonna have this new order. Well, you can't build it on a foundation of crimes, festering wounds, and total unfairness in your treatment of people, the people who are still a part of this new order. And this is what is behind the fact that, this new order is an order of crime, of criminals. So, what else could it be? Because it's built on unatoned for crimes. And this is just one part of them. Now, let me tell you here a part of the Benesch decrees that says that considering the terrible atrocities inflicted on the Czech and Slovak people by the Germans and Magyars, the Czech people may punish Germans as they see fit. I found this in there, but then I couldn't find it again. But it was like saying, now that we're back in control again, you Czech people may do whatever you want to the Germans that are around because of what they did to us. And they build up what Germans did to the Czechs. And really the Czechs were the people who were the least harmed of all. They didn't suffer anything except that event of Lidice, which I described in detail on Saturday on my previous program. So they were given carte blanche to do whatever they wanted, and they did. Now, there's an appendix in this book of the documents of the Sudeten Germans, and the appendix 16 gives the value of what the Sudeten Germans lost. And it is very, very interesting because it goes into detail. And this book was written in the 50s. I think it might have been, published in 1950. There was another one that was 1953. I don't know which is which. But this is one thing that you can take a look at and see because it's tremendous amount. It's in the billions, hundred billion of property value and goods and so on that was stolen from these people under the idea that because they were could be accused and blamed for starting a war and for, you know, committing crimes in Czechoslovakia that they didn't commit. But they were, the whole world was okay with blaming them for it, that all this could be done to them with no compensation. All right, Linda is on the phone from Maine. Hello, Linda.
Hi there. I'd like to say that the expulsions of Eastern European Germans after the war is the most appalling thing on earth. It was the largest population exchange in human history, mm-hmm. and yet it receives very little attention. Now, an interesting phenomena is the fact that they are constantly downsizing the estimates, much like the Dresden bombing or the Allied bombing figures. They steadily get decreased by the major media until they dwindle away to almost nothing. The standard universal estimates for 60 years were that between 1945 and 1950, up to 15 million German civilians fled or were expelled from the eastern territories of Germany and from the Eastern European countries. Other estimates were even higher. From the lower to the highest to the lower, we had Eastern Germany, then Czechoslovakia, Poland, Danzig, Yugoslavia, Romania, Hungary, the Baltic states, and lastly, the USSR. Besides those forced expulsions and murder of millions of these people, at least another 3.1 million disappeared during the expulsion and liquidation process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these figures are actually, at least in my view, rather inconsequential, whether it was 5 people or 5 million. The fact is that it was an incredibly horrendous ethnic cleansing.
Well, I can't agree with you. I find it really bothers me when people say, it doesn't make any difference if it was 5 or 5 million. They do that with the Holocaust, Linda, and they'll say, well, whether it was one person that was put in a concentration camp or 20 million, what's the difference? It's wrong. Well, there's a big difference. I think there's a big difference in numbers. And
in numbers,
know, this
yeah.
is a way to minimize the weight of the numbers.
Well,
or not.
I'd take their argument and use it against them because the fact is, by downsizing this number of expelled Germans, they're trying to minimize it.
Oh, sure,
just
sure.
Like
I appreciate
the
information you're bringing.
Now, you take the Sudeten Germans. As a result of their ethnic cleansing, the Czech estimate is a ridiculous low of 15,000 Germans, which were expelled. And this blurs the issue by distorting the true count, which is actually more like the 270,000 figure, which stood for almost a half a century. I mean, the Brunnen Death March alone was a figure of 20,000, and today it's been revised down to 800 people. So you see, they use this against us.
Linda, if the listeners would go to these online books, on which I recommended, they would see all of this in detail.
Absolutely.
It's incredible, the detail. They have gotten this by getting testimonies from all of these Sudeten Germans, and they sound, they're not extreme. I mean, they're not crazy, you know, they're not wrong. I think if you read them, you can tell.
Sure.
And it's just place after place after place after place. And, of course, as you say, the Czechs are minimizing. Naturally, they do that. They minimize and they blow up their own numbers of those who suffered. But really, the Czechs had the least cause of anyone to retaliate against the Germans.
Absolutely. Now, the birthplace of Franz Schubert's mother, for instance, Zuckmantel, was a little Czech village. And when they drove out the last of the Germans between December and January of 1946, the new Czech masters, by gunpoint, issued decrees. Not only did the people have to leave their houses and take their children out with nothing, absolutely nothing, they had to leave, and I'll quote one decree, leave their homes completely furnished, curtains, carpets, lamps, bed mm-hmm. linen, with beds freshly made for 2 people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They had to leave everything here and put food in the cupboard and do all
exactly.
this so that we can come in and just sit right down at the kitchen table.
Put a
and
mint on
the
pillow
meal.
For us while we steal your home and your
yeah.
family's Bible and your kids' toys. But
yeah.
people don't want to hear about German suffering.
Mm-mm.
Germans, it's okay if we say collective guilt is okay for Germans. It's not good for Jews. It's not good for anybody else. But it's just fine to use on Germans. They deserved it, even if they were 6 months old. And I don't think anyone's ever going to get over that hump.
Well, the problem that I see, that I've come to see, Linda, is that the problem, the biggest problem, is the German government that's in place and has been in place since the war. It's not a government looking out for its own people. It's a government in place to keep the official history that the Germans are at fault for everything that happened, to keep that in place. And therefore, there's no room for finding any sympathy or building any museums or monuments to the destruction of the Sudeten German people or any of the other peoples.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Well, thanks, Linda. I appreciate that call very much. And we will be back, ladies and gentlemen. Gee, we're already at our last short segment. So we'll see what we can finish up with.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I'm talking about the fallout and the problems that we can see that are all based on the kind of thing that we're that is based on the refusal to acknowledge the expulsion that Linda pointed out, the huge extent of it, of the Germans from after World War II from their eastern homelands. Now, I want to point out in the last few minutes that there was an agreement signed on the fourth day of August in 1950 between General Prishala, representing the Czech National Committee in London, and because now in 1950, you know, now the Czech nation was under Soviet control, and I can't think right now what it was called, But that it was Czechoslovakia, maybe still, maybe it was still called Czechoslovakia. It was now, though, behind the Iron Curtain. This is what they got out of it all by the way they did their politics. And so in 1950, when things were really more open than they are today, and there was more acknowledgement of what actually took place than there is today, that we have had a curtain fall on us, too. The official story that we now have has become rigid, hard, and is like an iron curtain that keeps us from going back to what was before and seeing what actually took place and why. So in 1950, the Czech National Committee in London, which would have been anti-communist, made an agreement with the Joint Committee for the Protection of Sudeten German Interests in Munich, and they had their representatives, and they signed this agreement. And in this agreement, they agreed that that both parties acknowledged that they should be able to return, everyone should be able to return to their homes. And the expelled Sudeten Germans had a right to return to their home, and being cognizant of the fact that such return could take place only when the Czech people are liberated, both parties are willing to do all within their power to bring about this liberation. Well, they mean liberated from the communist rule from the Soviet Union. And at that time, they're all being anti-communist. They said, well, when we get rid of these communists, well, then you people, you know, we will be more friendly with one another, and the Sudeten Germans can return. And they signed this. And yet they signed this on August 4th, 1950. But whoever was representing the Czech National Committee, the people, the leaders of Czech nation that then became the Republic of Czech, the Czech Republic, did not honor that. And they have instead the Beneš decrees, which say that Germans have no business there. They never did. And they cannot come back, and they will never be given restituted for what was taken, because it was taken with justifiable reasons and so on. And so this is the way so many things, agreements are signed, but they're not lived up to. We have a call from Kim. Kim, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to
I'm sorry, you have about 2 seconds, I think.
I really wasn't sure whether I was on air or I was just listening.
Well, okay, I thank you for your call, Kim. Call again tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to my show this morning, and I will be back tomorrow, and I've got some really great material that I want to cover tomorrow, and so I hope you will tune in. And if you can't catch me live, then do go to the archives, and do get yourself a subscription to the archives so that you can listen at your leisure. I will now say goodbye for today, and thank you.
The next round.